62 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire.
And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Ivanka Trump testified in her father's civil fraud trial today in New York. CBS's Lana Zak.
This morning, she said she was generally familiar with the Trump Organization's accounting practices, but not a specialist.
Donald Trump is accused of inflating his financial statements to land better loans and interest rates for his business. Israel's military says its ground offensive is working and Hamas has lost control of northern Gaza. CBS's Doug Williams.
Israeli forces say there's now fierce fighting in the heart of Gaza City. The violence has driven civilians to the south of the region.
We want to live in our land with a peace.
Three giant pandas from the Smithsonian in D.C. are on a 19-hour flight back to China. Their pilot overseeing the mission talked to reporters this morning.
It's a true honor being able to fly these three lovable bears back to their homeland. We brought them here in 2000. I wasn't a part of that then, but to be able to do this is an honor.
CBS News Brief. I'm Monica Ricks.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. After a big day for Democrats in elections around the country, the latest Marquette University Law School poll finds President Biden with a 2-point lead over Donald Trump, 50% to 48% among registered voters. Both frontrunners are low on favorables, with Biden at 42% and Trump at 37%. The poll also shows Republicans Nikki Haley and Ron DeSantis beating Biden in Wisconsin in hypothetical matchups. The Milwaukee Brewers are being asked to chip in more to maintain American Family Field. An amendment to the ballpark bill would increase the Brewers' contribution by $10 million. The ask from taxpayers would go down by $36 million thanks to a tax on concerts and other non-Brewers events. The Senate may vote on the amended bill as early as next week. I'm Terry Bell. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. Students from rural school districts will be able to visit the Beaver Creek Reserve thanks to a grant from Compeer Financial and the Eau Claire Community Foundation. According to a WQOW report, the grant provided over $21,000 to the Beaver Creek Reserve to host students from the Chippewa Valley's more rural communities and promote environmental learning. The grant will allow students from Alma, Birchwood, Bruce, Cameron, and Cornell school districts to visit. After receiving a $2 million grant from the United States Department of Justice, Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call has announced the Wisconsin Anti-Human Trafficking Task Force is partnering with three new victim service providers. The organization will work with Family Advocates, Inc. in Platteville, Convergence Resource Center in Milwaukee, and American Indians Against Abuse in Hayward. According to a Badger Herald report, Wisconsin has seen nearly 800 cases of human trafficking since 2007. And that's what you need to know. I'm James Kelly, WCFW News.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Brittany, how many barometers do you own? It's a meteorologist thing.
Tell us the truth.
I've got four in my house right now.
That's not terrible.
I scaled down.
How many did you used to have?
I give them as gifts now.
Are you re-gifting me a barometer, Brittany?
We're down to four. That sounds manageable.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Brock. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
The Bucks host the Pistons tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks are in Milwaukee tonight with a matchup against the Detroit Pistons. Game time, 7 o'clock. The Bucks are 4-2 after beating the Brooklyn Nets. Head coach Adrian Griffin on how his defense made the difference.
They had the momentum, and we didn't give up, and we kept fighting and clawing and got back in the game. This was NBA basketball at its finest.
Baseball, Craig Counsell tells JS Online he accepted the manager's job with the Chicago Cubs because he needs a new challenge. Brewers owner Mark Antanasio says he was willing to make Counsell the highest paid manager in baseball history.
Now, I was informed by Craig that he was going to the Cubs. For several weeks, we've had an offer that would have made him the highest paid manager in baseball. He made a decision to go another direction.
NFL, the Packers head to Pittsburgh Sunday to face the Steelers. Jordan Love struggles with his accuracy throwing the deep ball. How can he improve? Matt LaFleur.
Shut his mind off and let it rip.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Cloudy with a sprinkle or two possible today. A little sunshine possible by late this afternoon. We'll get to around 47 this afternoon. The wind will be out of the east at 5 to 15. Tonight, 33. Tomorrow, sunny and breezy. High of 45. It'll be even cooler on Friday with a high right around 40. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable.
Current temperature 44.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
The delusions of grandeur have come to an end, as has the campaign of former Vice President Mike Pence. You know, people didn't care for him so much. I don't know why. You know, January 6th, they just wanted to hang him at the gallows, Dom.
I mean, at least they knew his name. You know, there's no such thing as bad PR, Crudy.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6.
On your local civic media radio station and on the app. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local civic media radio station or the Civic Media app. If anyone knows what's on tap, it's the Chippewa Valley. We're talking about everything that's on tap in your world today. 93.5, The Tap, UK.
Talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn.
Welcome back to the second hour of Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789, coming to you statewide on Civic Media. We're going right to the lines. Bob Madison, my friend, thanks for calling. Bob, what's in your mind today?
Well, I think we should be running against Trump, Putin, 2024. He hasn't chosen a running mate, so Putin ought to be run around his leg. We ought to develop a rumor like the other side does that he's going to choose Putin for his running mate and just go to town on that thread and, really go after the Republicans. I think it would just blow their minds. The Russia hoax, of course, elected him. You know, if Manafort hadn't given that 75 pages with the targeting information about Minnesota, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, and Michigan, they couldn't have done everything. And a researcher here at UW-Madison says that of 20,000 Facebook accounts in the Trump administration and 4,000 from Russia, they were sending out the exact same material at the exact same time. Is that not coordination? So I mean, he owes everything to Putin. He ought to be loyal enough to pick him as his vice president. What do you think?
I think that's terrific. I have a spinoff of that. By the way, I do agree with you. They did collude and coordinate with Russia. The Senate, the Republicans had the Senate at the time, so this is not a Democratic thing. The Senate committee that looked at it said that Russia had interfered in our election. Trump was asked about that in Helsinki. Do you remember that when Putin was sitting there and he looks at Putin? He said, well, why would he do that? I believe Putin. Well, do you believe your CIA and FBI? Well, not really. And Ron Johnson in this state did the same thing. But unfortunately, the Democrats didn't make issues of that in their race against Johnson. And he won by a little bit. Should have been beaten, quite frankly. But the way you can do that, I think, Bob, is and the more you just gave me an idea. I've been kicking around a little bit, but next July, the Republican Party is going to be coming into Milwaukee for a week convention, roughly a week. I was a delegate to a number of national conventions. I was a delegate in New York in 1980. I was a delegate San Francisco to the Democratic Convention in 1984. And I was not a delegate, but I attended the Democratic Convention in Atlanta, Georgia in 1988. And they last about a week. People come in, you know, maybe the weekend before, Saturday, Sunday, Friday night. you know, they have meetings, and then the business starts Monday, and it usually ends with the nominee giving an acceptance speech on Thursday, and then Friday, everybody goes home. Well, during that time period, you're going to have international TV, not just national, on Milwaukee all the time. And you do have an opportunity to protest. Now, I want to say no violence, guys, no violence. We want no violence. But it is absolutely right. And there may even be places where you stand to protest and you can't just go walking into the convention hall. I would assume that would be one of the requirements. But whatever it is, carry placards that say Trump Putin 2024. Carry placards. Or you can have street theater. You can get big paper mache heads, one say of Trump, the other one of Stormy Daniels or E. Jean Carroll, and have them pretend to chase them and have them try to run away. You can do a lot of things in street theater because, you know, people are going to be sitting in London and Paris and Barcelona and Munich, Zurich, Berlin, all these places. And they don't know what we know. They're not hitting this every day like we are. And you try to boil it down. Trump Putin is an absolutely terrific idea. And I think you should do that next July in Milwaukee. Come to Milwaukee. It's a nice town. Do it. I like it a lot. Okay, I want to talk about something very, very important issue. Yesterday, the U.S. Supreme Court heard oral argument in a case on the constitutionality of a federal statute that says, if you're subject to a restraining order in court, you can't have a gun. You can't have a gun. You can't have a concealed weapon. You can't have any kind of a gun. There's a guy named Zachary Rahimi in Texas, and he's a real brutal looking guy. You Google a guy, Zachary Rahimi, and he assaulted his girlfriend, said he was going to shoot his girlfriend, and some things that were not commented on. The police executed a search warrant on his house in connection with five other shootings, and they found guns there as well. So under the federal statute, the court said you can't have your guns. This guy, Zachary Rahimi, goes to the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals, which is the most conservative. It's down in New Orleans. It's the South. It's full of Trump type people. They reverse. They say the Second Amendment trumps that. It's okay that he threatened to kill his girlfriend with a gun, that he beat her up, that they found guns, and when they were searching for other shootings, there's one report on one TV station that he had shot at a witness, and that's okay. And I'm sure that the lawyers were good lawyers, and they gave him the following facts. Something like a third of women who are murdered by intimate partners. Women, if you have an intimate partner who's mad because you jilted him, because you started dating somebody else, more often than not, much more often than you think, they murder the woman. Even if they have a restraining order, the restraining order, they rip it up and murder the woman. The idea of their not having guns has probably saved some lives. The Supreme Court granted a writ of certiorari. That means, you know, the government went up and said, this is the wrong decision in the Fifth Circuit, and the Supreme Court took it. Now, the thing about the Supreme Court, and I'm going to say two things. In this particular case, I think it is possible that they will reverse the Fifth Circuit and reinstate the constitutionality of the federal statute. Because Amy Coney Barrett was very offended by this in some of her questions and statements, because she's a woman and she knows women are being murdered. And all it takes then is one other, the three Democrats, Amy Coney Barrett and say John Roberts, or even Kavanaugh, who believe it or not, has occasionally thrown a vote to the other side. And 5-4, it'll be reinstated. But I have a, frankly, much deeper question. Is this Supreme Court is corrupt? Clarence Thomas has been on the take for 20 years. He was the 5-4 vote. He was the swing vote in Citizens United, Shelby County, which got rid of most of the Voting Rights Act, Dobbs, the part of Dobbs that overturned Roe v. Wade, and other cases. He and some of these tarantulas, the six tarantulas, are like Russian judges. If you have a country dedicated to the rule of law, you have to have honest judges. If it's cooked up in the parking lot beforehand and they put on robes and they chuckle on the bench and it's all cooked, that's not a democracy. That's the way Russia is. You know, Alexei Navalny, the great dissident, he's arrested when he comes back to Russia. The first charge that they cooked up was he left the country without permission. Well, and he gets maybe 5 years. Then they add other charges, treason, and now he's going to serve something like 30 years, and then they're deliberately withholding food and medicine from him. But in all of those cases, there were judges and courts. They don't have jury trials over there, but they have judges and courts. And there's a clown in a robe, and he'd stroke his chin, and he'd nod. But what he wouldn't say is he got a call the evening before from the successor to the KGB that said, the directive is give him 15 more years, give him 20 more years. It's fake. It's not rule of law. If Clarence Thomas is on the bench of the Supreme Court, it's fake. He has had billionaires pay him for a long time. And his wife. It's fake. So here is what he is starting to say. And here's what he said in other gun cases. He'll say, well, anything having to do with guns, anything, is unconstitutional unless it has an analog in history. This is a fancy word. He pulled it out of thin air. You can't say or do anything about guns unless there's an analog in history. What does he mean by that? Well, analog in history means, was there a statute enacted when George Washington was president that said that people who commit domestic abuse can't have guns? Of course not. People didn't even think and talk about domestic abuse back then. The closest gun control ever came back then, I don't know if you remember the old Westerns. I always like Westerns. There'd be a town like Dodge City. Some of the bad guys would come in. The sheriff would go up to them and say, check your guns at the sheriff's office, boys. We'll give them back to you when you leave. That's what they do. They pull it out of thin air. These were people living on the frontier. So Clarence Thomas will pretend to search statute books. And he'll say, my. It does not appear to be a statute like that. Is there a judicial decision? Well, my, no, there wasn't back in Mississippi in 1805. Of course not. They had slaves. You see what I'm saying? That is not modern jurisprudence. It's crooked jurisprudence to hide a predetermined result. You cannot have a democracy with crooked courts. And fortunately, we have a lot of very, very good judges. I was a law clerk for one of the best, Judge Thomas E. Fairchild. But there are people on the Supreme Court who have to be removed. And if they can't be impeached because of the Republican Party, a grand jury has to be convened. We're going to a break. And I'll tell you what, we're going to look around and see what's coming up. Oh, and I know what's coming up. There's some very, very good stuff coming up having to do with the Congress.
Tell that midnight rider, tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter, tell him that God's gonna cut you down, tell him that God's gonna cut you down, tell him that God.
93.5 The Tap.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Timeout!
All right! Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself.
We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
Welcome back to Matt the Director. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, the Congress, the U.S. Senate, Tommy Tuberville. Here's the deal. Here's what's happening. Tommy Tuberville, this has been going on for almost 9 months. Now it's up over 400 military promotions, nominations to different positions. Over 400. The whole time, it turns out, the Republican Party has been in on this with him. And here's what I mean by that. And here's the development right now. Tommy Tuberville is taking advantage of a thing called unanimous consent. The conceit in the Senate, a whole hundred of them, is that they're like the House of Lords and they can do whatever they want. Any one of them can shut down the government simply by objecting to unanimous consent and demanding to speak with maybe one or two others as long as they want to chew up time. These senators like to go home on weekends. They like to go on not just vacations, but on campaign stops and all this. If you permit that, you are given a license to one man. He could be bribed. He could be a Russian agent. He could be any of this stuff. And in the future, that may be what happens. Shut it down. Instead of just saying, okay, you object, fine. We're going to go with the 51 votes. Okay, fine. Jack Reed of Rhode Island, who's an excellent senator, had an idea. So he put in a resolution that says for this one specific case, military promotions, we're not going to do unanimous consent. We're just going to approve them all 400. Now it's almost 450. There is no commanding officer of the Fifth Fleet. We have troops being fired on in Syria and Iraq. They don't have commanding officers. The Republican Party has committed treason in betraying our fighting men and women. But for him to get this under the Senate rules, that requires 60 votes, requires 9 Republicans, and the Republicans haven't given him 9 votes. They'll say, oh, what Tuberville's doing is terrible. But no, I won't agree to promote them myself. I'll tell you how this is going to end up. John of Boaz, my friend, you're on the line. What's in your mind today? John of Boaz.
Captain, can I call you captain for today?
Well, it'd be nice, except I was only Lieutenant JG. So you can call me Lieutenant JG.
All right.
What's on your mind today, John?
You're going to be captain in my book, sir, because you served.
Thank you.
Out in the Pacific in the seven seas, and my daddy survived the worst typhoon, Typhoon Cobra, or Halsey's Typhoon, December 1944. Well, he taught me how to swim, but it's the trauma of hearing all of his friends calling for help all night long. There was nothing they could do. Nothing. He was traumatized by that all his life.
Yeah, well, I have a lot of respect for your dad, and I'm going to tell you an anecdote. A typhoon is just a hurricane in the Pacific. If it's in the Atlantic, it's a hurricane. In the Pacific, it's a typhoon. Typhoons in the past, in other words, hurricanes, have sunk ships. In the modern Navy now with radar, because back then they were just inventing radar, you can spot a storm on radar and you avoid it. You're told to deviate your track You even deviate from gales. The worst heavy weather that I was in was on the outskirts of a gale. We took green water over the forecastle, and the ship is a very small ship, pitched to go down. There'd be water up all over the ship, green water. And then it would come up and down and up and down. But in the typhoons in the Second World War against the Japanese, remember the Indianapolis, which is a cruiser that took the atomic bomb components to the Pacific Island where they assembled them, and then they dropped on Hiroshima and Nagasaki. That ship, when it went to the island with the bomb parts, was smooth sailing. On the way back, it was sunk by a Japanese submarine and went to the bottom of the sea. Huge casualties. You know, there were over 1,000 men on that ship. Most of them died. And some of them died in a very, very sad and kind of scary way, because they were bobbing around, some of them wounded and burned, with life jackets. And there was a school of sharks. And they came by, and some of these sailors would be bobbing around the ocean. Suddenly they'd see one of the other sailors scream and disappear under the water. So when John of Boaz talks about his father going through a typhoon, I have a great deal of respect for him. And what kills me above all is that Tommy Tuberville and the Republicans won't promote sailors, won't promote Marine soldiers, won't promote their generals and their admirals, so they can lead them when they are under military attack, combat attack, from proxies of Iran in Syria, in Iraq. Joe Biden just sent a nuclear submarine, an Ohio-class nuclear submarine, one of our most advanced, to the area to surface and let everybody know that if people think they're going to attack us or Israel, they're going to be very short-lived, very short-lived. But I want to emphasize again, as I have several times, a number of times on this show, it is incomprehensible to me how the Republican Party can claim to be American, can claim to care about our country, and for almost 9 months have 400, now over 400 military promotions, and deny leadership to our men and women in combat. And on November 17, another chicken hawk, Mike Johnson, will deny them pay, even though many of them are of lower income. A lot of 19, 20, 21-year-olds married with a child or two, living on base housing, the wife and the kids are, the husband's on the ship. And what? They're not going to get a paycheck. And the husband's not going to get an admiral leading his fleet, someone with experience who can give advice on when it's wise to do something and when it's wise not to do it, and protect his men and women. The Republican Party is guilty of treason. The Republican senators, who all claim that they would vote to promote these admirals and generals, but won't give any of the 9 votes under these ridiculous Senate rules, are guilty of treason. It's not just Tuberville. It's not just Rand Paul. It's not just J.D. Vance. They are guilty of betraying our men and women who are facing combat. Going to break. I'll tell you what, it's coming up. There's going to be news. There's going to be weather. A lot going on. Don't go away.
From Liney Lodge and Carson Park, the entire Chippewa Valley is tapping in to the station talking about your hometown
and all of Wisconsin.
93.5 The Tap. It's what's on tap for the Chippewa Valley.
93.5
The Tap. This is 93.5 The Tap. 93.5 The Tap.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A Wisconsin company is getting part of a $440 million federal contract to bolster Puerto Rico's power grid. Generac Power Systems will provide battery storage systems and other equipment. The Department of Energy is hiring companies to install rooftop solar systems and backup battery power to up to 40,000 low-income households in areas where the power is known to go out a lot. Wisconsin's top elections official is safe in her position for now. That's according to State Assembly Speaker Robin Voss. The conservative group is mounting a pressure campaign against the state's most powerful Republican, but Voss tells reporters an impeachment vote against Wolf is unlikely anytime soon. A Dane County judge has ruled Wolf stays until a court ruling on her status. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. A new holiday event is coming to Water Street in Eau Claire this month. According to a WEAU report, the downtown Water Street Holiday Hustle will feature at least 15 local businesses offering interactive promotions during their business hours as a way to get more people to visit the area. Participating businesses include places like Estilo Salon, Dooley's Pub, and the Goat Coffee House. The organizers of the event are also looking for volunteers to help make the Holiday Hustle as successful as possible. The Wisconsin State Senate voted on Tuesday to approve an amendment to the state constitution prohibiting government agencies from shutting down churches during states of emergencies. Stay-at-home orders during the COVID-19 pandemic were widely debated, especially as they applied to attending religious services. The amendment must pass in consecutive legislative sessions before it can be ratified by Wisconsin voters in a statewide election, and Governor Tony Evers has no power to veto it. And that's what you need to know. I'm James Kelly, WCFW News.
The Todd Alba Show.
I had tweeted out after the second game of the year, a hot take. I said, by the end of the year, we will see Braden Locke as the starting quarterback of the Wisconsin Badgers. Now, Mr. Mordecai broke his hand. And by golly, not the way I thought it would happen, but Braden Locke has become the starting quarterback.
And another finger on the monkey's paw curls.
Where did you get that one?
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
The Bucks host the Pistons tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks are in Milwaukee tonight with a matchup against the Detroit Pistons. Game time, 7 o'clock. The Bucks are 4-2 after beating the Brooklyn Nets. Head coach Adrian Griffin on how his defense made the difference.
They had the momentum, and we didn't give up, and we kept fighting and clawing and got back in the game. This was NBA basketball at its finest.
Baseball, Craig Counsell tells JS Online he accepted the manager's job with the Chicago Cubs because he needs a new challenge. Brewers owner Mark Antanasio says he was willing to make Counsell the highest paid manager in baseball history.
Now, I was informed by Craig that he was going to the Cubs. For several weeks, we've had an offer that would have made him the highest paid manager in baseball. He made a decision to go another direction.
NFL, the Packers head to Pittsburgh Sunday to face the Steelers. Jordan Love struggles with his accuracy throwing the deep ball. How can he improve? Matt LaFleur.
Shut his mind off and let it rip.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Your hometown radio refreshed. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Cloudy with a sprinkle or two possible today. A little sunshine possible by late this afternoon. We'll get to around 47 this afternoon. The wind will be out of the east at 5 to 15. Tonight, 33. Tomorrow, sunny and breezy. High of 45. It'll be even cooler on Friday with a high right around 40. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable.
Current temperature, 44.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Local talk about our hometown and all of Wisconsin has gone untapped until now. You're on 93.5 The Tap. Make sure and tell your friends.
Love is a burning thing.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, there was another event that was in the news yesterday and today. I want to talk about it. Rashida Tlaib, a member of Congress from Michigan, Democrat, was censured by the Congress in a bipartisan vote of 234 to 188. I want to get to the bottom of it, what I think about it, and the history of it. First of all, there are plenty of people in the Congress who should be censured, in my view. Marjorie Taylor Greene should be censured. Paul Gosar should be censured. Matt Gaetz should be censured. And that has not happened, even though Nancy Pelosi spanked them good and took away committee assignments to Marjorie Taylor Greene and to Paul Gosar. On the other hand, when the Republicans took over, they censured Adam Schiff. Most of you don't remember that. But they censured him because of the impeachment issue against Trump. And Adam Schiff was superb. He got up and he said, "I wear it as a badge of honor." He's running for the Senate out in California. And it's a huge plus for him because he was censured by a corrupt Republican Party. So when I first looked at this, I thought, all right, let's get underneath it. What's going on? And here's my opinion. The vote was 234 to 188. 22 Democrats voted for it. 22 Democrats. Four Republicans voted against it. And it had to do with statements that Rashida Tlaib had made about Israel, and she and Ilhan Omar in the past have made that are considered, in my view, anti-Semitic. One of the things that she said, she posted a phrase that is used in some of these demonstrations recently. "From the river to the sea, Palestine shall be free." Now, what river are we talking about? The Jordan River. Remember the River Jordan's chilly and cold? Hallelujah. What sea are we talking about? The Mediterranean Sea. If you say Palestine should be free from the river to the sea, that means the elimination of the state of Israel, because the state of Israel is between the river and the sea. She also has posted things like Joe Biden is guilty of genocide of the Palestinians. Joe Biden is one of the most humane presidents we've ever had. He's my president, he's our president, and he's her president. Now, Joe Biden did not approve of the censure. Not only was he not behind it, he was opposed to it. He was opposed to it. But 22 Democrats voted for it anyway. I think that was a correct censure. As much as I would like to see Paul Gosar, Marjorie Taylor Greene, Matt Gaetz, and a few others censured, and as wrong and despicable as I think it was that Adam Schiff was censured, I want to say that we have got to root out all instances of anti-Semitism in our party. And it's not extensive, but it exists on the far left of our party. It also exists on the right of the Republican Party. The mainstream of both parties is not anti-Semitic. It's pro-democracy and it's pro-Israel. But you have people like Marjorie Taylor Greene, Paul Gosar, and others who are anti-Semitic. And they're not alone in that party. Now, let me say a few other things. It's not just Rashida Tlaib. Ilhan Omar has had a series of anti-Semitic statements throughout her career. And I do not trust her. I do not trust Rashida Tlaib any more than I trust Paul Gosar, and any more than I trust Marjorie Taylor Greene. And I want to address the current state of what's happening in Israel's entry into Gaza after the sadistic, inhumane torturing of Israeli civilians, children, women, and the kidnapping of 240 people. One of the kidnapped victims is 9 months old. There are over 30 of them who are children. They're frightened to death. They won't be released. Israel has said, release the hostages and we'll stop the bombing. They won't do it. They won't do it. In fact, the head of Hamas, and there are several heads, said that he will do an October 7 again and again and again. In other words, not just the military action, but the torturing, disemboweling, and burning of children, women, and the elderly. And who are some of these Hamas people? Let me name their names. There are three in particular. Ismail Haniyeh. And a lot of these people are hanging out in Qatar or the United Arab Emirates. What do you think the net worth is of Ismail Haniyeh? $4 billion with a B. Another one is Khaled Mashal. What do you think his net worth is? $4 billion. Another one is Musa Abu Marzouk. What do you think his net worth is? $3 billion. Hamas has simply taken food, fuel, and I'm talking about the people in Gaza who are running Hamas, the torturers, the sadists, and hidden them in tunnels. There is aid coming in, as it should be, for the average person there. But I'm going to point out a couple of other things. Hamas paraded the naked body of a beautiful young Israeli girl who'd been murdered in a brutal fashion. Her legs were yanked farther apart than they should have been. And a crowd surrounded it, yelling Allah Akbar and spit on it. A crowd. Now, consider the aid that Biden is proposing to provide to Israel. That aid would double the number of Iron Domes, 100 more Iron Dome launchers, 14,000 Tamir intercepts to take out incoming missiles. Currently, there are 10 existing Iron Dome units, and each has 3 to 4 launchers. And there are 20 Tamir missiles and a battlefield radar. This would significantly increase that to defend Israel from Hamas. This money also gets spent in the United States by RTX Corp, who makes them. It owns Raytheon and Pratt & Whitney, and they make the supply components. Now, in my view, there are two separate issues on the side of the Palestinians. One of them is the absolutely right wish of the Palestinians to be free and to have self-rule. And the Palestinian Authority in the West Bank tries to effectuate that. They hate Hamas. Hamas hates them. There's another aspect to this that can loosely be described, not so loosely, as Islamic Jihad. Islamic Jihad is a theocratic movement. It's not as a care about colonialism. They don't care about the Palestinians. And their objective is essentially a caliphate, Islamic government throughout the world, certainly right now, wherever they can get it. ISIS was the biggest proponent of that. Hamas is part of that. It's not part of the Palestinian Authority. It's not an anti-colonial power. It's a theocratic group of torturers and sadists. The irony is that Iran is part of that. But the Iranians are Shiites, and they're not Arabs. They consider themselves Aryans. That's why they named their country Iran. They used to be Persians. At one time, the Persian Empire was extensive, and it was a blot on all civilization throughout its history. And now it shrunk down to present-day Iran. It's very similar to the dinosaurs. At one time, you had Tyrannosaurus Rex. And over the course of time and some meteor strikes, believe it or not, they are birds. Every bird you see is a descendant of a dinosaur. Tyrannosaurus rex became a hummingbird. The Persian Empire has become a bird, a hummingbird, and a malignant bird. So I want to make that information available to everybody. Anti-colonial struggles, whether against the British, whether against other Europeans, have always been part of the fabric of civilized advancement. The Israelis were themselves genocided in Europe. And when they reverted to Israel, their ancestral land too, this is the ancestral land of a lot of people, they've offered on three occasions to the Palestinians, not to Hamas, but to the Palestinian Authority, look, we're all very similar. Let's have a two-state solution. You'll have a state, we'll have a state, we'll trade, we'll go on vacation in each other's place. It'll be great. And the two proponents of that in Israel were two great prime ministers, Yitzhak Rabin and Shimon Peres. And for his pains, Yitzhak Rabin was assassinated by a right-wing Israeli who didn't want peace. And then you had the Oslo Accords. And then under Bill Clinton, you had a deal, he thought, between Israel and the Palestinians, Yasser Arafat and Ehud Barak for Israel, and Bill Clinton. And they all agreed on a two-state solution. All it required was turning back over the West Bank and Gaza to the Palestinians. They could run themselves. Israel would run itself. And they wouldn't attack each other. They'd recognize each other's right to exist. And it was drawn up in principle. This is the late 90s. But yes, Arafat backed out. Why did he back out? Because he was afraid that he would be assassinated for doing it. Because Anwar Sadat had been assassinated in the early 80s for doing something similar. And if he wasn't assassinated by Hamas, he'd be assassinated by ISIS hadn't arisen then, but that kind of people. Al-Qaeda was in formation. So that, here we are right now. My solution is that the people in Gaza force the Hamas people to release those hostages, 204, all of them, every one of them, Americans, Israelis, Europeans, every one of them, even one of them is from Ireland, believe it or not, and especially the kids. Can you imagine a nine-month-old infant? Another one's 3 years old without his mother. 9 years old. When you were 3 and 9 years old, if that had happened to you, the Hell's Angels kidnapped you and took you off, what do you think would happen to you the rest of your life? That's what's happened. It's very important to look at the history of this. It's very important to look at the dilemma of this. Joe Biden is a very compassionate guy. And a lot of these demonstrations right now show hatred to Israel. There was one the other day. There was an Israeli demonstration. And a woman came by from a car and gave the Nazi salute. You see swastikas. This has got to stop. This is America. And we take people of all faiths and all backgrounds. But we do not tolerate anti-Semitism. Joe Biden is doing a superb job in a very, very tough environment. And we do not want Donald Trump or any Republican or anybody in the Democratic Party stabbing Joe in the back. Well, there's a lot more coming up, and let's see what we got. The state Senate in this state has just proposed constitutional amendments on voting that you should be very suspicious of.
Fire, and it burns, 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 the ring of fire. The ring of fire, the ring of fire, the ring of
fire. You're listening to 93.5, The Tap.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
OptUS Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUS Kids, and the Ad Council.
93.5 The Tap.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. We're going right to the lines. Joe and Madison, my friend, thank you for calling. What's in your mind today, Joe?
Hey, Matt, as always, history matters. And that's why I think what you've been speaking on this afternoon is so important. I wanted to talk a little bit about the decision, this Rahimi decision, about that you were speaking of in the last hour that was talking about how it was domestic violence, and if people who are under restrictions for holding guns, can they still hold a gun because of the Second Amendment saying that you have the right to bear arms? This Rahimi decision is coming off of the Bruin decision, which said you have a right to keep and bear arms for self-defense, and that extends outside of the home. And it says, and this was written by Judge Thomas, that lawmakers in lower courts must have gun regulations that accord with supposed historical understanding, so that the test is not public safety or competing interest. It is the historical standing. And it is, quote, that the government must demonstrate that their regulation is consistent with the nation's historical tradition. Well, I find this just fascinating, because we could start with, number one, I doubt that there were any age restrictions on owning guns back in when the founding fathers started up. And more importantly, you can see within legislation back then that free black men, such as Clarence Thomas, would be curtailed from owning any guns. There were over 270 slave revolts in our country, and they were petrified that there would be more. Black people were not allowed to hold guns, and great restrictions against that. And that's been a dynamic that's been going on throughout our history up and through the Civil War. So I find it sort of amazing that when it comes to the Second Amendment, we have this idea that we have to go back to what life was like during the Founding Fathers, and not looking at the fact of we've changed a little bit from then. And what we should be looking at is competing interests. And if we're just going to be, looking at history, I mean, I love history. I'm like you. I think it really matters. But when we look at history, we can see that for black people, they didn't have a right to own arms. So where does Mr. Thomas come from? Where does his opinion on that? I'm curious about your reaction. Thanks a lot, Matt.
Yeah, as always, a magnificent call. History is so important. And right, not only were there no age restrictions, I'll tell you another historical anecdote. And really what Clarence Thomas is saying, you need an analog in history. And he knows he's going to go back to 1805 or 1795, and he's not going to find anything. But also, they only had muskets. They didn't have submachine guns. They didn't have AR-15s. There is no historical analog. But I'll give you this anecdote, and then I'll go to the next caller. A true story. Abraham Lincoln's father, Abraham Lincoln was born in 1809. His father was Tom Lincoln. And in the late 18th century, things were a lot more violent down in Kentucky where they lived. And there were Native American tribes around there, and there was frequently fighting and murder between the white settlers and the Native American tribes. Abraham Lincoln's father, Tom Lincoln, saw his own father murdered in the field by Native American people. And that it wasn't the same construct as it is now, but am I going to go back to that and say, okay, I'm going to judge present social policy on that? If Tom Lincoln, when he was 9 years old or saw it had a gun, he would have used it. I mean, the point of the matter is that was the 18th and 19th centuries. And you're right, Clarence Thomas would not have been able to hold a gun, own a gun. And frankly, you go into some towns and they would have a sign, check your guns with the sheriff. They didn't care about the Supreme Court. They had a real good idea about gun control, is get your guns out of your pocket, in your holster, and stick it with the sheriff. We don't want that either. We don't want sheriffs making up their minds. And the bottom line is, you'd have a Colt 45 or a musket. You would not have an AR-15. You would not have a Glock. Times have changed. Clarence Thomas is only doing that, Joe, in my opinion, because Clarence Thomas thinks that's a sly way to obey his billionaires from whom he's on the take. Wisco Paul, my friend, you're next. What's in your mind, Wisco Paul?
Hi, good afternoon, Matt. Good show today. I just wanted to mention the Marquette poll. It was a close poll on fair maps, but I hope the Supreme Court does not pay attention to that poll that was done yesterday, because the current configuration of the Assembly and Senate in this state do not do the work of the people. They do whatever their donors tell them to do, and actually very few of them have any original thought of their own. They have to vote with whatever boss and I forget the Senate leader's name tell them to vote, or they get primaried. So what I want to say here is it's very, very important that we get fair maps in the state, and I hope the Supreme Court does not pay attention to that poll. That the only way we're going to get fair maps is through the Supreme Court. So thanks, Matt.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Paul. As always, I really love your calls. Here's the deal on that. Here's the deal on that. This poll comes out every once in a while at Marquette. They have a great pollster. My good friend Mike Goucher is one of the people that are involved in public policy at Marquette. And by and large, I'll tell you two things. By and large, it's a very well-respected poll. It probably skews, if anything, a little conservative. And nothing wrong with that. However, there are two aspects to this. One of them is the horse race. In other words, Biden-Trump, this one and that one. The polls right now, I think, are trumped, no pun intended, by the results in the elections yesterday. There is a mood in this country now that's palpable, that we do not want fascism. We do not want Trump. We do not want corruption. We do not want to make our country like Russia. And that is where it is going if Trump gets in. The second thing is about fair maps. And that's worth a segment in and of itself, and there will be one in the future. But when it comes to fair maps, right now, they have almost a two-thirds majority, almost a veto-proof majority, and yet they don't win statewide in other elections. Statewide elections, they don't win a majority of legislative votes. It's a crooked deal. These are cooked maps. They're rigged maps. And Janet Protasiewicz is a magnificent justice, and I think she's going to do her best to do what we can to correct it. But otherwise, these characters will continue to do this every 10 years and keep in power in perpetuity. Come to the end of the show. Great show. Great show coming up. Diamond Crute, Devil's Advocate, Matt Flynn Direct, back same time, same place tomorrow. Sign off for today.
There ain't no easy way out. Hey, I will stand my ground. And I won't back down. No, I won't back down.
On air, 93.5 FM. Online, thetap.com. And on the Civic Media app. This is 93.5 The Tap. This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media network. This is Civic Media. 93.5 The Tap. 93.5 The Tap.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different.
and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app. You can always continue.